just want to encourage you just for a few minutes with the word that the Lord put on my heart, just to be an encouragement to you. And I want to read a story about what only God could do. And if I would title this, it's simply this: prayer changes things. Turn to somebody real quick and let them know, prayer changes things. Was that a revelation for some folks out there? A lot of smiles. Praise God. It does. Prayer changes things. It's this wonderful opportunity for those of you that are visiting and for those of you that might be just kind of watching and observing, and those of you online. It's as simple as this. Prayer is an opportunity for you and I to talk to God. And in that conversation with God, he listens, he talks back, and he responds. And out of that conversation with God, our heart is drawn to God, and God is drawn to us. And we experience in that time of prayer the sense of his presence, knowing that God is with us, knowing that he is in us, knowing that he surrounds us. 2 Kings chapter 6, and you don't have to turn there, you can listen, but it's an amazing story, a powerful story about a prophet named Elisha. And in this season in his life, there is the people of Israel, and then there are the people of Syria, and the king of Syria is at odds with the king of Israel. And just to give you a little bit of context, the king of Syria is out to get the king of Israel, and he wants to take over the land of Israel. He wants to dominate. He wants to destroy the people. He wants to bring these people to an end. And there is a war going on. And so the king of Syria had, at this point in his life, attempting to craft a plan to attack the army of Israel. But every time he put together a plan of action, that plan of action would be sabotaged by a prophet named Elisha. So the king of Syria would be in a private chamber with his leaders, working out the plans to attack Israel. And as he was in his chamber, he would establish time and time again a new place to go where they would attack the king of Israel, where they would attack the army of God. But every time he sent his men out to occupy a space in the effort to attack the army, the Israelites would already be there ready to fight. Why? Because this prophet Elisha would get a word from God, knowing everywhere the king of Syria attempted to attack. And so the king of Syria was very frustrated because he had tried it many times, an attempt to move his army to a certain spot. And every time he got to that spot, somebody was always there representing the kingdom of Israel. And so he brings his leadership together and he goes, who is the spy? Somebody let me know who is sabotaging my plans. Which one of you is not with me? And his counsel goes, well, king, I'm here to tell you this, that it's actually none of us. It's actually the prophet Elisha. He hears everything that you're saying in your bedroom. And so the king of Syria gets very upset. And he says, well, then let's go get him. Let's bring an end to this prophet Elisha. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14, so he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city where the prophet Elisha was staying. And verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? As if he were unfamiliar with what Elisha could do in the power of God. But it was a little new to him. He had actually happened to be a replacement of another servant who happened to be a crooked man. And so this was all still new to the young guy. And so the prophet Elisha, after hearing him come in fear, alas, my master, what shall we do? Meaning he's basically saying, this is it. we're done. I mean, could you imagine stepping out of your house in the morning, having served Elisha for some time, and coming out and seeing an army surrounding you? Oh, God. And he steps back in and he tells Elisha, what do we do? And when he says, alas, master, it's a type of way of saying, this is our end. But then Elisha prayed. Turn to somebody and say, then Elisha prayed. Turn to somebody else and say, because prayer changes things. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. There are two prayers that just happened. One is a prayer that changes perspective. The second prayer is a prayer that changes your position. Prayer changes your perspective because our human perspective only sees that which is against us. In the natural, all we see is the opposition. In the natural, all we see is the struggle. In the natural, all we see is everybody who's against me. But in the supernatural, when you have a divine perspective, when you pray, you see what God sees. But you have to pray. Because without prayer, you only have a human perspective on life. But when you pray and have conversation with God, you see what God sees. Here's what it looks like when you pray. This is what it looks like when you pray. And your perspective changes. I'm going to ask everybody sitting here, these three rows, which are primarily our wonderful seventh students that have come to join us this week, give them a hand. Scripture tells us that the king of Syria sent an army from the east side. You represent the east side. Stand up. The east side has risen up against me. Even in my best days, if I try to put up a fight, ultimately, they're going to beat me down. There are more of them. I'm going to get my licks in. But there are more of them than me. And if they all work together as a unit, I'm going down. And sometimes we see this in life. I can't get to the other side. What are y'all looking at? And it seems overwhelming. When it feels like your enemies are just staring at you. Opposition staring at you. Looking like a wall where you can't get by. And a lot of times we just stare at it rather than pray about it. Oh man, it's three rows. I wish my situation was just one row. But it's two and it's three and there's so, and I feel so uncomfortable. And we talk and we complain and we think about it and we process it and we go, alas, my master, oh my goodness, what do we do? And the master says, God, give him a new perspective. Yes, sir. Give him a new perspective. Yes. Give him a divine perspective. I love it. Some of us, we have to continue to pray for those that are not able to understand what it is to pray. Elisha prayed for somebody else that they would have a divine perspective. How many of us are praying for others that need a divine perspective because all they see is a human perspective of what faces them? But this is what happens when you and I pray, when we seek the face of God and understand the power of God, the fire of God, the glory of God. Well, this is what happens. We get a divine perspective because without prayer, we don't see the army of God that's surrounding. So now I'm going to ask the choir to stand up. We're not done. This is what happens with the divine perspective, because the army of Syria came from the east side of the hill. But scripture says that the entire mountain was encompassed by the power and the presence of God. So now I need, from the balcony to the main floor, everybody to stand up. This, watch, stay with me. Stay with me. Now watch. This is what the servant sees. He looks around and he sees chariots of fire and horses all around. Suddenly, I can't see them anymore. Matter of fact, sit down. My situation has been minimized when I have a divine perspective. Sit down for a moment before we get ready to pray. Sit down, choir. Prayer changes your position. First one, prayer changes your perspective. Then prayer changes your position, meaning this. Here was the position. See, when it was just first them, stand up again. You can get your exercise in. Without prayer, it's a position of vulnerability. And feeling, well, overwhelmed, a position of despair, a position of doubt. But when you have a divine perspective of what's around you, suddenly you take a position of authority. Because you've been praying. So in that time of prayer, in that time of conversation with God, God reveals to you his power and authority that he desires to give you. And suddenly you go, suddenly just like this, because you've been praying, you can't see me no more. That's what happened. He says, God, close their eyes right now. And suddenly they close their eyes. I close your eyes. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to shove you. I'm not going to swing. But close your eyes. Front row. Don't open your eyes. Take a step forward. Look, they don't even want to take. They don't even want to take one step forward. They won't take one step forward. It's uncomfortable to take a step forward when you can't see. It doesn't make sense to move forward when you can't see. I want you to understand divine perspective and a spiritual strategy to what God has called you to do. It can only be in the divine authority of God that I can call them forward. In my human nature, I called them to take one step forward, and they didn't hardly even want to take that step. Let alone if I asked you to take three steps. Look, he's already opening his eyes. He wouldn't even keep the eyes closed. Sit down for a second. You can sit down. You're done. Open your eyes and sit down. Sit down. Here's what's so amazing about this. Elisha said, Lord, close their eyes. And then after he said, Lord, close their eyes, he said this to him. He said, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man who you seek. Now, he wasn't lying, because really who they were seeking after was the king of Israel. He said, and scripture says, and he led them to Samaria. Now, the city where Elisha was staying was 13 miles from Samaria. So 13 miles, whether on foot or on chariot or on horse, it would at least take 4 hours to travel with Elisha, blind. Prayer changes your position, where what seemed to be controlling you, you now take control of. Prayer changes your position in understanding that God has given you authority and power to call down whatever has gotten in your way. Prayer changes your position. But you can only change your position in prayer if God has revealed to you his divine perspective. You can't start talking to that which is in your way if you haven't prayed and asked God for a divine perspective. Some people think that they can shout down every obstacle, but you haven't prayed to God. God, give me a revelation of what you see and not what I want. Because if you don't pray what God wants, and if you don't pray for his divine perspective, then the end of all of this prayer walking and faith walking will only end in your own selfish desires. Which brings us to the conclusion of the importance of prayer. Prayer changes your perspective. Prayer changes your position. Prayer changes your purpose. Listen to me. He says, follow me. I mean, I find this quite fascinating that they followed him for 13 miles. But when you're walking in the authority of the Holy Ghost, everything that God calls you to do is sustainable. Listen. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, oh Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. That is his third prayer. Prayer changes your purpose. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw and beheld they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, the king who was not praying, the king who had no divine perspective, the king who did not understand the correct position in the faith, says, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? He says it two times because he's super excited that here they are standing in the middle of Samaria, feeling a little awkward. Having walked 13 miles, having been blind for that long, there was a little bit of confusion. And suddenly they're in Samaria. Can I strike them down? And Elisha answers in verse 22, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Now this is a tough one to swallow. Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. Praise God for obedience when the Lord speaks. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land. Romans chapter 12, listen to me, and we're almost done. Scripture says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Thought. Because see, when you have a divine perspective, the spirit of fear is crushed. And when you know God has not given you the spirit of fear, he's given you power and love and a sound mind, so that your thoughts are not to persecute your enemies, but to bless them. You hear what I'm saying? When you pray, not only does it change your circumstance, but it changes you. And it gives you a divine perspective how to live a life exercising grace and mercy even to those that have stood in your way. And it says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, because sometimes we stop right there and we're like, yeah, God, repay them. Get them, God. Get them. Crush them all. They've hurt me. I should strike them down. And we stop reading right there. But you've got to read the full context. Verse 20 says, to the contrary. Look at somebody real quick and say, to the contrary. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Glory to God. You see, prayer changes your purpose. A lot of times we want to see the end of our enemies in the effort to stand above them and over them, when God has called us for his glory and his purpose and his good. And that which is good is the power of Jesus Christ. And that which is good is the finished work of the cross. And that which is good is his grace and his mercy given to us and given to every single one of them that stood in my way. That I might heap coals, burning coals on their head. And don't take that out of context too. God is not talking about inflicting pain on them. Some of y'all still picturing that the wrong way. Some of y'all want to throw some hot coals on some folks that have messed you up. Mm-mm. What this symbolizes is an awakening to a dead conscience that does not recognize that God is greater than man. And when we feed our enemies and when we give them drink, they come to the recognition that God is gracious and merciful and loving. Because if I destroy and bash and talk about my enemies, God doesn't get the glory. But we won't have that problem if we have a divine perspective. And prayer changes your perspective. And when you have a divine perspective, prayer continues on to change your position, giving you a sound mind as to what to do next, walking in the authority as a voice for the King of Kings. Prayer changes your purpose. I want Jesus to be glorified in my life. God opened their eyes to see that God does not condemn. He's full of grace and mercy. Go home. The scripture tells us that they never made an attempt to attack again because the testimony is our God is greater. You know that song? We sang it last Tuesday. You may think that you're surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. This is how I fight my battles. You need to fight your battles in prayer. Stand up with me. Let's just take 5 minutes and let's worship. Greg, whatever's on your heart. But before we worship, take just a minute and let's start with number one. God, give me your perspective on my situation. Your perspective, not mine. Every voice lifted to everyone that received this word. As we get ready to sing a worship song, lift your voice right now. Give me your perspective, God. Give me your divine perspective on everything in my life. Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done, oh God, not me. Give me your perspective, Lord God. I want to know and I want to see that I'm surrounded by you, oh God. Not only are you in me, but you're surrounding me and you're going to keep me. Let me see the light of Christ Jesus abiding in me. Let me see the light of Christ Jesus all around me. This is what I want to see. I want to see your will. I want to see your glory. I want to see you, God. Not my problem, not my situation. I want to see you. I want to see you. Hallelujah.